Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about business. We're talking about social paths and particularly business, because business is what keeps us busy. That's why we see the word busyness in business. We talked about epigenetics, and we use that as a springboard into talking about your genes and your genetics of your body, because you're made in the image of God. But also there is a spiritual genetics, a spiritual DNA. Sins of the Father are visited upon the Son for seven generations, are visited upon. He's not condemned to them. That if you let Christ in your heart and He turns on that characteristics that are of God and changes your mind so that you have the mind of Christ, because you seek His ways and are willing to fast from the ways of evil and the ways of wickedness and the ways of iniquity, then God will bless you. And He will save you, not because He owes it to you, but because you're the prodigal son who have turned around and headed back. And this will actually make you healthier. And you will come face to face with your subconscious mind, which is often the source of what is making you unhealthy. And it will not only protect you against the disease you may wreak in your own life, but it will protect you from the disease the rest of the world wants to wreak on you and wreck your life with. We also earlier talked about scouts. We talked about the formation of organizations. And that formation of organizations is based upon an attitude in you. Your attitude of turning responsibilities over to somebody else will give them power and you less power. And then when you complain about it, you'll want to seize power over them, when all you really have to do is return to accepting the responsibility for yourself. You don't have to change them. You don't have to alter old wineskins and patch them up. You simply leave the dependency upon that institution and form your own institution. And when you do that, don't repeat the same mistakes. Keep it grassroots. Keep it from the bottom up. Keep it a voluntary society. Keep it based on free will offerings, empowering the young people that are in your scout troop, whatever you want to call it, your troop, empowering them to make choices, to learn to make choices. You're raising adults, not children. You want them to become the driving force in your organization, and you simply being the guide to guide them in the right direction, not dictate them from the top down. You're going to be interested in this. You're going to be interested in that. You're going to narrow your vision. No, we want to expand that so that they grow and they mature. So anyway, now we're talking about business, and we're talking about kingdom business. And we talked, I had a phone call recently, a conference call with people all over the country about business in the congregations of the people. You know, everybody, you know, because that is one of the big paths. If you go and become an employer and an employee, or you're an entrepreneur of your own business, or whatever it is, this is going to be that walking that path is going to have a great effect on the spiritual well-being of yourselves. And the spiritual well-being in yourself is going to have a great effect on your business. The paths you walk make you what you are today. That journey will give you the strength of character or being, or destroy you, depending on which way, which path you want to take. From the beginning, John the Baptist said, "Repent, make straight the way of the Lord, the path of the Lord." And so you want to do that in business as well. And I have a number of conferences coming up in the days to come with individuals to talk about how to make the people's business within the individual congregations, within the individual families, more kingdom-oriented, and have people who actually have experience in this for a long time. We have a lot of people that have started their own business or many businesses over their lifetime and are willing to help other people do the same. And we may even have people, of course I can't say for sure because it depends upon relationships, that will help you get into your business, help you run your business, help you promote your business. And they will do this freely because they believe, if you have instilled that in them, that you have come to serve like Christ. And if they come to serve like Christ and you come to serve like Christ, serving each other will be simple and commonplace. It will be the name of the game. One of the first things I say, I have a little notes that I created on business, on preparing you, preparingyou.com, all one word, /wiki/business. And I wrote down some things, and it may change by the time you get there, but it has a few other links to other places. But anyway, for today, it says, the kingdom is divided into the left hand and the right hand. Still the same kingdom, left hand and right hand. And why do I say that? Well, there were actually hundreds of places that you can find that in the Bible. One of the first places we see it is in Genesis 48:14, where it says, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, there's a reason for that, and there was actually a discussion as to which hand should be over which. But anyway, but we also see in Matthew 6:3, but when you doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. So there's a distinction here in giving alms. The right hand and the left hand are not mixed. They're separate. One does the almsgiving. One is evidently supposed to do something else. We see in Mark 10:37, they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. Now, what are these locations? He says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to him for whom it is prepared. Now, actually, he's talking about a government, and actually what he's saying is that the ones who are to sit on the left hand and the right hand are to do certain things. Always this is the way it was in government. These are metaphors for how they operated government. He's talking about a kingdom. The ones on the right hand do certain aspects of kingdom work, and the ones on the left hand do another set or aspects of the kingdom work. And so what are they actually talking about? The right hand is the state. We'll just make it the right hand, which is in charge of the capital, the assets of the state, the resources of the state. The state consists of all the people, all the children of God. That's the state. They're kings and queens in their own homes. And what they have is theirs. And what they earn is theirs. They decide what to do with it. They're the state. Now, of course, those people may have incorporated into some other social compact where somebody else, some elite group or some, you know, Congress or king or president or somebody has the right to decide what happens with their assets. And they will say, you have to give in or you have to pay this. And that's the way it should be if you've made those agreements. If you've bound yourself or become entangled in those agreements, you're stuck with those. We're talking here kingdom. In the kingdom of God, man is endowed with certain rights. He is endowed with the garden of this planet. He is to dress it and keep it. But now, if he's given the power and authority over to somebody else, then so be it for the time being, until that changes of its own accord. But in the kingdom, from our point of view, as ministers of the kingdom, the capital and the stuff that God has granted all men is still in the hands of all men. Although we recognize that pacta servanda sunt, agreements must be kept. But in the kingdom of God, which we're supposed to be seeking, you would be the owner of yourselves and the owner of all that your labor produces within the family. But that's the children of God. That's the ones who are not the child of somebody else. They are not under the authority of the fathers of the earth, which Jesus said to call no man father. But many people have, and that's where they're at right now. They may be in bondage. But what do you do when you're in bondage? And we'll get to that. They do not own those assets collectively in the kingdom, but individually. Most nations today own what they have collectively, and the state controls the assets, including the people who are considered to be human resources. Now that's where we come into the world at in this day and age. It wasn't always that way, but it certainly is that way in most lands, in most countries. God meant the people to own the land themselves, to have a right to the milk and honey. Historically, men have gone into bondage under states like Babylon, Egypt, Rome, and whatever state you happen to live in now. That's where you're at. We have to deal with where you're at. If you find yourself more an asset of the state than a free soul under God, there are solutions that can be approached in a righteous manner. You may have to pay your tally of brick. But Jeremiah had a few things to say about the Babylonian captivity. And we should probably read that so that you have a little bit of an understanding of that. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now, these are the words or letters that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. It sounds like everybody didn't go, but anyway, these are the words that he said to him, and one of them we see in Jeremiah 29:4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives of your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased here and not diminished. He goes on in verse 7 to say, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Did he want them to stay in bondage forever? Absolutely not. So what is all that saying? When people listen to the leaders that say and do contrary to God, they go out of the presence of God and do foolish things. And he will talk about that in Jeremiah. We'll revisit that in Jeremiah. But first he says to build houses, to have families, to take care of your families. Learn to do that. Remember, he caused this captivity. Why did he cause it? Because you weren't doing that. That's right. You weren't doing that to the extent that he wanted you to do that. And that's why you become entangled again in systems much like Babylon, much like Egypt, much like Rome, which we explain in lots of different places. The left hand of government is the church. It is in the almsgiving business. It is in the charity business, promoting individual welfare through charity. The whole Christian conflict of the early church was that they did not want to join Caesar's care, which provided for the individual welfare of the people through social schemes of Corbin. And there are links on the page that will take you to show you where that is. But Caesar was providing welfare for the individual care of people, the needy of society. He was giving free bread. He was giving free wine, free health care. Not Julius Caesar, but by the time Servus came along, they had universal health care. It was bankrupting the nation, but they tried it in order to appease the people. Because once you start down that road, that path, that's where you're going to go. So Rome offered those things to the early Christians, but they didn't take it because they knew the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, and they knew that the Corban of the Pharisees was a social welfare system that compelled the offerings of the people, which was the job of the church in the wilderness to provide for the welfare of the people through the Levites, through free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. Over and over again we see that. And they took care of the charitable needs of society, providing through religion, which is what religion means, providing for their fellow man, caring for their fellow man in piety. Just like piety has to do with caring for your father and your mother, and in society, you had the firstborn of society, which was the Levites, the priests of your society, who were to take care of the fathers and mothers and children of your neighbor, because you had to care about your neighbor as much as you cared about yourself. So they had a whole system by which to do this. Now, Caesar offered another system where you just pay him, and he's the father. He's your patronus. That's what they called the Caesar, our father, patronus. They called the senators patri, father. Jesus said, call no man on earth father, and pray only to my Father in heaven, and live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. In other words, you had to hope your neighbor was going to be there for you. That was your social welfare scheme, based on loving one another. And it changed society. That path changed society. So anyway, the church in the wilderness, and the church established by Jesus Christ, was the servants of the public. They were the priests of the public to receive the benefits, the benefaction of the people in free will offerings, and then take it and the bread that it produced and rightly divide it from house to house. The responsibility of the elder of each congregation, the elders, meaning the heads of every family, was to make sure they picked a minister who actually did that. That was their job. And they freely gave to him according to his service, just like the Levite. That's one side of government. But that's separate from the other side of government, because when they gave that offering, once they gave it, there's a lot of people thinking about joining corps now, what we call corps, congregations of recorded elders. And they are free assemblies. They're not incorporated associations or unincorporated associations. They're free assemblies. They come into a meeting as heads of their households. When they leave, they're heads of their households. If they give something to the minister so that he may use it for the purposes of Christ, when they cast it upon the waters in his direction, they let go. As soon as it leaves their fingertips, it's not their concern anymore. I mean, they'll keep an eye on him, make sure he does a good job, but they don't have to worry about it. They can walk out of that room, and they come back next week, and they may want to report on what he did with it, but he has been given the responsibility of redistributing that wealth because the individual elder let go of it. He is in a free assembly, and he stays free. He walks out with everything that he walked in with except what he laid upon the altar. And the altar was a living altar, a white stone, hopefully, if he's done his homework and picked wisely. And the only way to find out is to give that minister the chance. And if he screws up, then rebuke him. Then don't give to him, give to somebody else. All the members of the congregation are in a free assembly. As soon as they walk out that door, they have no legal obligation beyond that. They are not bound. This is really cool that God thought this up. God is a clever man when it comes to government. But this was the government of God. This is the way the Israelites operated. This is the way the early Christians operated. And it really helped them. But they were in a free society. if you're not in a free society, you can still participate in that practice, but there will be some things that are different. The point is the congregation of the people is separate from the church, and the church is separate from them. When we're using the word church in its specific sense, you can use it in a general sense, and it's inclusive of the congregation. But in a legal sense, the church is this separate body appointed by Christ to provide a particular function of social welfare benefactors who do not exercise authority. God arranged that the people go into captivity because they had forgotten what God wanted them to do and how God wanted them to do it and how He wanted them to live. They weren't going the straight way anymore, and they ended up in bondage. Why? Because they were coveting their neighbor's goods through the agency of men like Herod, who would force the contributions of the people and provide for the general welfare and the specific welfare of individuals. See, general welfare and individual welfare are two completely different things. General welfare is, you know, like you do things to help out everybody generally. Individual welfare is when you give money to this guy, or you give food to this guy, or whatever. It's not general welfare anymore. And if you create a government that exercises a power, he should only have the power to promote general welfare, not specific welfare. Because if you do it any other way than through the way of the Levites in the early church, you're mixing the left hand and the right hand, and you're not supposed to do that. While they were in captivity, while the Israelites were in captivity, they were told to do and not do certain things. They had to provide for their families and still be fruitful and productive. They were not supposed to be rebels or lawbreakers, but also they were to pray to God for their personal needs and welfare and not their captors. They were to take care of one another. They were warned not to listen to liars and deceivers that would offer them schemes, that would teach them falsehoods, that would entangle the people into a greater bondage. Unfortunately, most ministers haven't been reading that to the people. Jeremiah 29:8. Let's go back to 29:7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. But he goes on in verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your own dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not seen them, saith the Lord. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And we go on to verse 11. We see, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, you're not to be coveting your neighbor's goods in this bondage. You're not supposed to be signing up for schemes where you're going to take the sword of government and force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That's absolutely in opposition to the principles of God from the beginning. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. This is if you have these needs, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So this is the plan. This is what Christ was doing. Christ was showing the people, you have to return to your Father's house, your Father's way. Stop coveting your neighbor's goods. Start loving your neighbor as yourself. Start practicing pure religion where you take care of the needy and the orphans of your society and the widows of your society with a daily ministration based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty through ministers who are titular, don't exercise authority, but are come to serve. This is the plan. So, we understand that schematic of the kingdom. We can now move in the direction of what do you do out there in the congregations to make a living, to have a business. Now, you're in bondage. You're going to be regulated. You're going to have limits to what you can do. But we're going to try to get back to this place where we take care of one another, where we love one another, where we care about one another as much as we care about ourselves. If we don't go back there, we're not going to be free again. We're not going back to our Father's house. A lot of people think, well, this is Babylon. We're just going to get out of Babylon. No, you have to get into Christ and get into His ways. In Jeremiah 29:15, because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon. Because you have said, is your prophets of Babylon or of the kingdom of God? Are you following the ways of the kingdom of God? If you are, He will carry away your captivity. You can't free yourselves, but you can be set free. So you need to understand that much anyway. So anyway, people are presently in Babylon for the most part. We write about that in a lot of things in the different books. And we're going to show you, kind of go through this business plan, but we're going to turn it kingdom, because the way of the world is a different kind of business, a different attitude towards business. And we're going to do a lot in this. We've got a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And so this is just kind of a prelude show to kind of give you a glimpse. But we're going to take you a long ways down the path if you're willing to go with us and work with us on this and see that all the problems of the world have to do with not understanding these basic concepts of righteousness and kingdom. And we'll talk about that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does He really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back. We're talking about business in Babylon, kingdom business in Babylon. How do you run your business to fit kingdom principles while in the captivity of Babylon? People, a lot of times, they think they live in a free nation, but you know, in Egypt, they had to pay 20%, had to pay 20% of everything they earned, everything they produced, their working day went to the government, benefited the government. They had to do that, and they called that bondage. Moses said, let's go out in the desert and worship God, serve God. Let's go out in the wilderness, somewhere else, outside of here, and we'll serve God, not the Egyptian government, which was at that time making wars and causing, wreaking havoc, and not always taking care of the needy, especially during plagues and famine. You're going to see that in every government of power eventually does that. They let the people down. So anyway, He was going to take them out where they serve God. They still were going to have to pay in a tithe. It might be 20% some years, might be 30% some years, and some years it might be a lot less. But it was the nature of the free will giving. Levites weren't kicking in people's doors and forcing them to pay. Levite didn't get paid just because he got a card that said he was a Levite. He was tied to according to his service for a particular reason, to serve the community in which he lived. The purse strings remained in the hands of the people. The people were the state. Their labor was theirs. The milk and honey was theirs. They chose what to give. They taxed themselves. That's a different path than most people have taken. And you're absolutely free to not take that path. But if you want to get back to that freedom, you have to start taking that path. And it's, you don't know how to walk in the kingdom. You don't even know how to walk in the kingdom at all. So you need to start like a child and with baby steps and start learning that. So anyway, many Americans and other people in many countries have built houses. They've planted fields. They've eaten the fruit. They've taken wives. They have begot sons and daughters and have increased. They have often sought peace, but are still yet carried away captives. Now they need to pray unto the Lord to have peace. Why? Because they let people deceive them and hearken to false dreams and schemes and dreams, not from the Lord. Some people are walking up to those false dreams and schemes and having thoughts of peace and not of evil. They no longer want to covet their neighbor's goods and force their neighbors to provide for them. People are starting to have faith, to pray to God of heaven rather than the gods, small g, gods of the world. People are starting to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and hopefully they will learn to do that with all their hearts and all their minds. Those that seek His peace and make straight His ways will be set free. Their captivity will go away. That freedom will be a product of seeking and striving according to His ways, because then His grace will come upon them because their repentance is real. And they will have love for their neighbor as much as they have for themselves. So anyway, what kind of business they have? And I told on the call, I mentioned that everybody should go see the movie Big Fat Greek Wedding. There's some parts of it I wouldn't recommend for children. And I don't agree with all the moral messages of it. But it's interesting to watch how that family worked in helping one another. They all had their own businesses. And if one of them was talking about a stress or difficulty, he says, oh, with the business, do you need money? Do you need help? So-and-so can go over and work. And they're working together. They want to see one another successful. When you gather together in your congregations, you should want to see one another successful. And, you know, many Jewish communities have that attitude, and that's why many Jewish people are very successful. Now, that attitude must extend out beyond the success of your local community and your local congregation. You cannot suppress or oppress the stranger in your midst. You don't want to cheat anybody. You want to be a blessing to all. But as far as the family of man, the children of God should be taking care of one another first. The Jew first, and then the Gentile. So the first step that we talk about, and I'm going to run through these kind of quick, is a business plan. And I say, caring about others as much as yourself is the beginning of Christ's business plan. That must be your foundation. Christ must be your foundation. You have to care about your employees. You have to care about your customers. You have to care about all those things. Loyalty to what is right or righteous more than to profit is part of His business plan. We have to have that as the root. Now, obviously, if there is no profit, you can't be in business. You can't be of help to anybody. You know, I pointed out that in the kingdom of God, the individual, we're supposed to be delivering every man to his family and to his possession. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a capitalist nation. The people are to own themselves and their own property. That is our intention. Every government's intention is not that. Our intention is that. But the people will not unless they take back their responsibilities. We know that. So our job as the church is to help them take back that responsibility to themselves and to their fellow man. Not just to their congregation, but to their fellow man, to all of them. And so when you make a product, you don't make a crummy product so that your congregation gets rich. You make a product so that everybody is benefited. These principles need to be manifest in all our business so that we become witnesses to His name and His character. A business plan must be a roadmap taking you in a righteous direction. A business plan is not what you do before you start, but it is the start. Where are you going with this? Now, a lot of people want to know, well, I want to get into a business of my own, but I don't know which one to do. This is why you need congregations. You need to be talking amongst yourselves, talking with other people, and that's what we're doing through the ministers. We're connecting people. Some congregations don't have anybody who's very good at business. So, but through the network of congregations, because you not only care about the people in your congregation, you care about people in the next congregation as much as you care about the people in your own congregation, as much as you care about yourself. We've had trouble with ministers doing that. They just wanted their little congregation. Their little congregation was their little kingdom. They'd be very selective of who they would talk to and who they would share stuff with. This is what's happened. You know, I mentioned that a lot of the Jewish communities are very successful because they have the idea of helping one another, but they also will have the idea of taking a pound of flesh from one another, if Shakespeare knows what he's talking about. But the reality is that has to go out to all your fellow men, that idea of prospering everybody. So anyway, a business plan is not what you do before you start. It is the start. In fact, you have already started because you're listening to this show. Accumulation of your personal knowledge and skills is an accumulation of business assets. And you've already got some skills. You can hear, you can read, hopefully. You can do something. It is your first capital, is your skills and what you've already learned to this point. The second source of capital is the skill, knowledge, and even assets willingly shared with you by others. And this, again, is why you come into congregations. You may know all about fixing cars, but you know nothing about business. You know nothing about marketing. You know nothing about a lot of other things. And you may even need some help about fixing cars. So if you want to create a business where you're fixing cars, you're going to need help. You know, one of the hardest things, you know, big corporations, they got accountants and bookkeepers and promotional people, and they got all these people working for them, and that's a big danger because they may become top heavy with expenses, but they've got lots, you know, they're pooling their effort in a corporation. You need to pool your efforts in a cooperation, and a cooperation of love. Can you imagine if everybody who walked in your business door wanted to see you a success? They wanted to see your business get off the ground. You have a decided advantage over other people. If everybody in your congregation wants to see you a success, you know, you could start a business and you're just about ready to get it to roll, and then you have an accident, you break your leg, and you can't go into work for a week. Your business, your sole proprietor, your business is gone. I mean, it's seriously damaged. But if you had somebody in the network in your congregation said, hey, you know, while you're, you know, my wife's going to bring you chicken soup and meals every day while your leg is healing, because you got it up in the, you maybe have to have it stretched out or something. But Fred will come down 2 days a week, and Steve will come down one, and Bill will come down one, and Larry will come down one, and we'll keep your business open for this week. And we'll just do it to help you out. Well, you don't need Caesar care. You got congregation care. You got kingdom care. And your Levite minister, you have a business problem. You ask him, and he finds somebody in the network who can give you the answer. Somebody, you know, like, you know, how do you get into this market? How do you fix this? How do you do that? He's not going to know all the answers, but he is the go-to guy to help you know where to go to. Because he's Health, Education, Welfare, and the Small Business Administration. And he can find the answer for you amongst other men who care about your business as much as you care about your own. And you have to do the same. Sweat equity. And the more you do that, the more people will do for you, and the tighter the bonds will grow, and the stronger and closer to the kingdom of God you'll become. In a kingdom-based business plan, you are not alone, because you are seeking to start your business to help others as much as yourself, and there are others who are willing to do the same. Most businesses need some organization and management skills and assets to begin with. In a congregation of record, of recorded elders, in a core group, you already have some of that because you are gathering with others that care about your business before it even begins, because they care about you. Even business is structured differently. And which one is best for you could be the result of your trial and error, or you could benefit from what others have already learned from their trials and error. I always tell my sons, easy or hard. You can learn this the easy way or the hard way. If you learn it the easy way, you're learning from other people's mistakes. If you're learning it the hard way, you're learning it from your own. In a congregation of record and congregations of congregations, you can tap into resources where people will say, oh, you don't want to do that. If you do that, this, 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 and this will happen. Now, you've got to do your own homework. And the more you do your own homework, the more people will want to help you. A business provides a service or a product line. Your provision, what you're providing to society. What do you want to provide and how does it benefit others, your customers, your community? Are you applying the golden rule, producing an honest provision for society? Can you market it? And will you need help? Do you have the funds and the resources, or will you need help there too? How much time will it take so that before you get a return? Are you ready for that? Do you have to start this small on the weekends? What do you need? You have to count the cost. And we'll talk more about that. We have on that page, it goes down to step two, get business assistance and training. Bring your questions to your core group, to the elders of your congregation, to get advice and assistance. Then share this outline with your minister, who will bring it to others in the network of the churches and congregations. And you will need to do the legwork yourself, knowing that your willingness to help others will encourage others to also help you. So you want to be there if there's other people that are starting the business. I sat in a meeting once and somebody said, I mean, right out loud, they said this. And when I was saying, you know, like they were complaining, they had problems with the local district attorney, and this one had problem with their neighbor. And I says, okay, when you're having problems, you have to come to his aid so he's not alone. And when she's having problems, you have to come to her aid so that she's not alone. You have to work together. And they said right to my face, I don't care about anybody else's problem. I just come here to get rid of my problem. And you know, this is early on, you know, when I first began. I said, I can't help you. I would be amiss to help that person. But if I see people struggling to try to help others, I want to help. That's just human nature, and that is a righteous nature. You don't want to help the lazy be lazy. You want to help the righteous be more righteous. Step three, business location. Where will your business be? You know, today we have tremendous opportunities for online businesses. Now, of course, if there's, you know, massive changes in the world, that may change. But you're talking about getting started. And really, the product of your business is learning to work with other people in a charitable way of helping and giving and sharing. That's what we need to learn. The business is just the playing field. That's where we're going to meet to play, so that we become better at kingdom business, which is charity and love for one another. Financing your business. You're going to need money. You're going to go to the bank, or you're going to go to the congregation. If you have a really good idea and a really good business plan, you may find people in your congregation and in local congregations that want to invest in that. You're going to have to prove that you're a good risk, but they would a lot of times be better off investing in your business. You know, they might own shares in your business. But they have it on the stipulation that when you start becoming successful, you'll buy them out. And when you buy them out, they'll take that money and they'll buy another business, because there'll be another son or daughter coming up that wants to start a business. And they'll have that money instead of rolling it over in the stock market with a bunch of people who don't even care about you. You're rolling it over in your local congregation and congregation of congregations with people who do nothing but care about you. Which one do you think is a better risk? You tell me. So you're going to have to not probably quit your day job. It depends on what. There's so many variations to this that you need individual customized planning and assistance. We can't do this on a website. You're going to be burning the midnight oil, a term which I'm sure was invented by a small business owner. You're going to have to do your own homework. But there are a lot of people that can help you over the rough spots, counsel you along the way, and gain benefit. This is one of the reasons why we like homeschooling, is because the younger are there and the older are there and the older are helping the younger, and everybody's maturing. That's why I don't like single-age education. I like small-room schoolhouses where you have homeschooling, but there are times when you get together in small groups to share and see how you're doing and compare and interact with others. And when you do that on school projects, you still want to have multiple ages so that the older can be matured by the needs of the younger and the help of the older mature the younger with admiration. Anyway, you're also going to have to determine your legal structure, and a lot of people aren't going to like me even talking about this, but the fact is you're in Babylon. You don't even know how to be in the kingdom. You don't know how to operate like the early Israelites did. You're not even ready to leave. You don't have the union and bondage that was formed during the plagues where they were helping one another and learning not to look. You know, I know guys who think that, oh, well, I don't need government, but they also have abandoned their families. They're not being families. They're dividing one another with denominational thinking, and they're being selfish. They've got to stop that. They've got to turn around. So your business is going to need some sort of, we're talking about the businesses of those people that are in bondage seeking to get back to the ways of the kingdom. While you're in bondage, you may have to be a limited liability company, a C corp or an S corp or a sole proprietor or a partnership. There are people in the network that can help you pick the one that's best suited to help bring you closer to the kingdom, make you a success. We want you to own your property. We want you to own your stuff, even if it's only legal title. You know, it's like kids playing house. You know, you give them toys, you give them tools, and they learn how to use them. Well, you got to learn how to use them in a kingdom way. We want you to have that stuff so you learn how to share again. Because when you learn how to share, God will hear your prayers. When you learn how to love, God will hear your prayers. If you don't learn that, I don't know if I can help you. 6, business name. You're going to need a name. You think that's an easy thing? I've actually been recently helping somebody get picking a business name is harder than pulling a back molar. I mean, it's really been a struggle. It's not always as easy as you think, and it can be very important. Is your business going to be needing to be numbered? What are the local laws? I mean, that is a complex maze. There are people in the network and in your congregation that help you get through that much smoother, including registering your business, licenses. You're going to be selling to the children of the world. You're going to need to have permission to do that. They can regulate that. Are you going to need employees? Where are you going to get them? If you get them from the world, you're going to have to meet their regulations, because you're going to have to be friends with that unrighteous mammon. Now, we're not talking about church businesses here. We're talking about businesses within the congregation. But having your own business, creating and that responsibility of taking care of your family, your business, your life, and then doing it together with others so that you become an asset to that congregation or community as you see fit. You're a resource, but we don't exercise authority. You're only a resource as you choose to be a resource. This will change you. This is a different path than the path that the world has been leading people. You know, just do what you're told. Go along to get along. We want you to get along with righteousness. So anyway, until we meet again, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.